Now, Andrew Miller is the lead optometrist for Focus Birmingham, a local charity based in the West Midlands. He leads a team of professionals delivering reablement services for visually impaired people in Birmingham. One Friday at work, an email arrived from Kristen Inder entitled Mission for Vision in Jordan. And that led to a big adventure. Andrew Miller joins me now. Hello.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for joining us. First of all, tell us a bit about Kristen Inder. Sounds like he was quite an inspiration to you.
Very much so. I first met Krista at a meeting in London for the Macular Society a couple of years prior to that email arriving. And he's visually impaired himself, and he runs and has led services in Sweden and developed a very good low vision service there, and is an incredibly inspirational speaker. And we spent some time chatting after the meeting, and a lot about vision, but also a lot about football. So had some passions in common, and I'd written back to him sort of after that to say how much I enjoyed the talk that he did at the Macular Meeting, and then didn't hear really anything much from him until the email I got that Friday morning.
And what was that then? What was in the email?
It was quite short and brief, and it was just an invitation that he'd been doing some project work in Jordan, and the optometrist that he used to take with him unfortunately had an accident and was unable to travel with him, and he was looking at sort of quite short notice of getting an optometrist who had some experience in low vision to go with him, and he invited me.
Now, did you actually jump at the chance of going to Jordan then?
No, I'm not a very well travelled person. I haven't really travelled that far previously, so my sort of first reaction when this email came was, oh gosh, but can't we go somewhere nice? Can't we go to the Bahamas? Can't we go somewhere else? So I wrote back to Krista, quite a few reservations about travelling to the Middle East. I'd never travelled in that part of the world before. And sometimes you hear on the news, you know, things about the Middle East, and that make you sort of question whether it's a safe and reasonable place to travel, particularly, you know, perhaps with a British passport. So no, my initial reaction was one of distinct reservation.
So what convinced you to go?
I think it's Krista's passion. I mean, Krista wrote back and said, no, we must go. I'll take you around Jordan. It's fantastic. It's a lovely country to go to. And we'll travel to Jerusalem, and I'll show Jerusalem as well. And I just thought, well, this is probably just too good an opportunity to miss. So it was all down to Krista that I ended up sort of sitting on a flight a few weeks later, heading my way out to the Middle East.
And it must have been quite a culture shock for you, I suppose. Something's completely different then.
Very much so. I mean, when I first arrived, I first went sort of 6-7 years ago now, and when I arrived at the airport at that time was a very, very small sort of airport. It's now a very grand airport. It's had lots of redevelopment work since, but when I first arrived, it was very small, very dusty, and when I arrived expecting someone to be there to greet me, and there was no one there, I did sort of wonder, you know, what I've done and whether I've done the right thing by coming, but my time that I've been out there now a number of times, and it's a place that I've grown to love immensely.
And the people are very hospitable, aren't they?
Incredibly. My first experience when I was there, I was stood in the arrivals hall, and as I said, the person who was meant to be coming to meet me, as it turned out later, they thought I was on a later flight, but so they weren't actually immediately there. So I was stood in the arrivals hall, not speaking a word of Arabic, and it was a very, very noisy, very, very busy, very busy place. And I was stood there, sort of, you know, been obviously, I'm quite tall, and obviously English. I was thinking I was sticking out like a sore thumb here. And a man sort of approached me, and I was thinking, oh my goodness me, please leave me alone. And he came and said a few words to me, which I didn't understand. And I said, I'm terribly sorry, I don't understand. And in perfect English, he said, well, where are you from? And I said, I'm from England. And he sort of just smiled and shook my hand, and he said, oh, welcome to Jordan, welcome to Jordan. And he went away, and then that sort of, you know, epitomizes the nature of the people that I've met out there. Incredibly friendly, incredibly welcoming, incredibly grateful for the support that the project that we went on to deliver had provided for them.
Because we tend to get only polarized views of that part of the world, don't we, from what we see on the news?
Very much so, very much so. And I can only sort of reflect, if I was an Arabic-looking person arriving in a local airport in England, whether they'd have got quite as warm a welcome as I got when I was out there. So I say, from my experience out there, the welcoming and the wonderfully accommodating nature of the people has just been, you know, just awe-inspiring from my point of view.
So what was the actual focus then of the project?
The project started as a very small thing. One of Krista's colleagues from Sweden had gone to live in Amman in Jordan, and she'd found there was actually no rehabilitation services out there at all. She'd spent time working with Krista in the rehabilitation services in Sweden and found this a disgrace, that there were services for people who were blind, but didn't find any services for people with low vision. So she, this lady called Natalie Buzier, she's a French-Canadian, and she's not one to rest on her laurels. If she finds a problem, she goes and tries and sorts the problem out. So she was working at a university in Amman and decided to set up a master's rehabilitation program. She felt that if there wasn't anything in place, well, we should build something. So she set up with the university a master's program to teach mainly optometrists. So she started this teaching and training program. And it's from there that the bigger project started.
So how has the work developed then? Has there been progress made?
Very much so. I mean, the project started in literally a couple of small offices in a dusty old sort of building at the back of the university. I'd say Natalie is one of the most passionate and driven people that I've ever come across. I've been out and taught on the program for a couple of three sort of times, and over that time, Natalie was developing the program, introducing more speakers coming from other parts of Europe to develop the teaching and training, and then later on starting to establish sort of some service delivery as in the university. So the first time that I was there delivering services, we were having to clear an office space, move files around and boxes around, to try and set up an area that we could get a patient into to start delivering a service. After that, they found building space to start opening a centre, which we went and taught in. And then we found funding together from the EU in what's called a Tempus grant, which is a grant provided by the EU for countries around Europe to develop resources, training resources, and help to support teaching. So we looked at developing a teaching program to look at helping and supporting people in Jordan learn more about low vision, but also moved the remit into helping and supporting services in the West Bank. So the occupied territories of the West Bank are even more challenged in terms of resources, and Natalie felt that the project could really sort of help and support people in their training there.
And what about the future then? Where would you like to see it go in the future?
Well, the Tempus project finished a few months ago now, and we were really pleased with how things went. We developed some formal teaching and training materials to leave behind, so we've published training manuals and training books. We've also helped to support developing a training clinic in a university in the West Bank. So in Nablus University in the West Bank, there's a training program for local optometrists. Now, as part of that training program, all the optometrists go through some low vision training. So all the local optometrists coming through that university will have an awareness of low vision work and have an awareness of how to help and support people with low vision. The project allowed us to for people from that area of the country to come and spend time with us both here in the UK, but also with some of the partner organisations we're working with, particularly a charity in the Netherlands called Visio, who's one of the larger sight loss charities in the Netherlands. So people were able to travel from Palestine and Jordan to spend some time with us here in Europe and see how services run here and see how our lessons could be learned back there. Thankfully, what we've seen since the program has finished is that the clinics have been self-sustaining, that at the moment the people who've been through the program are now training the next generation of optometrists and people going through the program. So we always envisioned the program to be self-supporting. And at the moment, that's what we're seeing. So we're really, really pleased with the results.
Must be really rewarding for you, though.
It has been sort of some of the most rewarding work that I've done. It's been really, really pleasing to see the results, really pleasing to see the impact. And I say, when you see people with lower resources than we have here, it does, you know, we all complain about resources here in the UK and how services could be better and services could be improved, and they could. But when you see people working with poor resources, it really does bring sharply into focus what is possible with lower resources.
Is there any way where we can actually read up a bit about what's been going on and the work and get more information about it?
There is a website that has been produced, which is www.visionme.org, and that shows the resources that we produced. We've also got a small piece on our website at Focus as well, detailing some of the work we've been doing.
Well, it's a very heartwarming story. Andrew Miller, thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me. Thank you very much.